and welcome you. We have sung a prayer by Sri Narottam Das Thakur. The translation is as follows. This coming Friday is Gaur Purnima, the auspicious appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This beautiful prayer inspires us in the proper spirit to approach this holy day. Anyone who has accepted the two lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya as their only asset knows the true essence of devotional service. If anyone gives submissive oral reception to the pleasing sweet pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, then immediately his heart becomes cleansed of all material contamination. Anyone who simply chants the name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya will immediately develop love of Godhead. I offer him all congratulations, saying, Hari Bol. If anyone feels ecstasy and cries by simply hearing the transcendental qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he at once understands the eternal loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Anyone who has understood that the associates of Lord Chaitanya are eternally liberated souls immediately becomes eligible to enter into the abode of Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, in Vrindavan, in his next birth. If anyone understands that there is no difference between Gaura Mandala, the place in West Bengal wherein Lord Chaitanya had his pastimes, and the transcendental abode of Sri Vrindavan, then he actually lives in Vrindavan. Anyone who takes pleasure sporting within the waves of the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's distribution of love of God immediately becomes a confidential devotee of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. It does not matter whether such a devotee is in the renounced order of life or whether a householder. If he is actually taking part in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan activities and actually understanding what it is, then such a person is always liberated. Narottam Das aspires for his association. Narottam Das Thakur, we know, was a prince. He was the son of a great and wealthy king, the only heir to the entire fortune. But as a very young boy, after hearing the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, after hearing the philosophy of the essence of all knowledge, pure unalloyed devotion, it was his only ambition. And with great difficulty, he left everything behind and went to Vrindavan. There, he was performing the most menial possible service to his spiritual master, Lokanath Goswami. When Lokanath Goswami saw to the extent that Narottam Das was humbling himself to do such simple chores that practically no one would consider doing, He was astounded. He asked, "Why, Narottam? Why are you doing such menial, simple labor? Even in such a dirty place for me? You are a prince. You are from a family of royalty. Why?" Narottam Das Thakur's reply has great and deep significance. Although simple, it penetrates the heart. With folded hands and tears of sincerity in his eyes, he spoke. He said, "Dear Guru Maharaj, yes, I have left the fabulous wealth and fortune of my kingdom. But in return, I have achieved the highest treasure of all treasures, of which nothing in this world can compare. Humble service to my Guru and Krishna." Why is it such a great treasure? Neha vikramanasosti pratyavayo nivityate. This purushartha siromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life, devotional service, is in fact the greatest treasure. One reason, because it is everlasting. It is the constitutional nature of our very soul to serve the Supreme with love. Everything else will be transformed and ultimately lost in the course of time. Krishna tells in Gita that his power of time within this world is infallible. We cannot escape. At every moment, time is stealing not only everything we have, but our very lives. And when we consider the reality of eternality, what is the span of our life? There is the story of that sage who was given a benediction that for every hair on his body, he would live a lifetime of Brahma. Lifetime of Brahma is 311 trillion years. Hare Krishna. And this sage, he did not have a shaved head. He had so many tens and millions of hairs. Does anyone in this room have any estimation of how many hairs are on their body? And yet we think we're so knowing. We think that our intelligence has the capability of understanding God. We can't even understand this body we've been living with for so many years. So this sage was living on the bank of river with no house. So somebody came up to him and said, "Why don't you build a house? Or allow us to build a house?" He said, "There's no need, no need. Because I'm only here for a short time. It's not worth it." In the light of eternity, even that hairy sage that was living quadrillions of years, it's a short time. time is relative. Everything within this world is relative to our particular perception. The consciousness of an ant is that that ant is thinking that he or she is living a very, very long, full life. For the ant, in his or her tiny little existence, the transformation and span of time of maybe a couple weeks seems the same way to the ant as 100 years does for us. Now you may ask, how does Swamiji actually know what ants think? Actually, we know by hearing. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul who knows the thoughts of every living entity, and he tells us. It is not our speculation. Ishwara sarvabhutanam hriddeshirjana tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutanam yantrabhutani maya. Krishna tells in Gita, I am the super soul within the heart of every living being. He is directing our wanderings. Sarvasya jaham hriti shani vashtoma tasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjana. Bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana. The Lord knows every thought of every living being because he is seated within the heart. So he has revealed this information. That even the insignificant little insect that is born at sunset and goes through his childhood pastimes and then grows up into adolescence and then finds a mate and has a family, and the family grows up, and there's children, and there's grandchildren, and there's great-grandchildren, and then he grows older and older and older until he dies, and that whole span of what we would consider 100 years takes place before the sunrise. In 12 hours, it's living a 100-year life by our calculation, and relatively, it's thinking that long. So time is very relative. But the real question of success in life is how we utilize our time. So Narottam Das Thakur, he is explaining that pure devotional service is the greatest treasure because it is the eternal nature of the soul. Najayate mriyate vakadachin. The soul is eternal. It is not subjected to birth or death. And Sanatan Dharma is to understand the true nature of the soul. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Soul or God. And therefore our nature is to serve with love. To the extent we want to please the Lord, to that extent we experience ananda or ecstasy. It is a wonderful contradiction. Because in this world everyone wants to be happy. But the Holy Scriptures and the sages teach us what real happiness is. Everlasting, unlimited happiness comes when we don't want happiness, when we want to give happiness. To the degree our heart is selflessly offering happiness to Krishna or to Krishna's parts and parcels with proper knowledge, to that extent the soul experiences transcendental ecstasy. When we want to take happiness for ourselves, it comes and it goes. And it's little puddles little puddles come and evaporate and come and evaporate and come and evaporate. But to that extent that we simply want to give pleasure to the Lord, the ocean of happiness, unlimited, eternal happiness, is revealed within our heart. So the treasures of this world, the Bible tells, Jesus said, do not make your treasure in this world, make your treasure in the kingdom of God. And then he tells why. Because in this world your treasure will be stolen by thieves, rusted by the elements, or eaten by moths. But if you make your treasure in the kingdom of God, there is no such elements. And the kingdom of God is within. So devotional service to the Lord, the loving exchange between the soul and God, is eternal. And it is also unlimited. Every living being essentially is seeking love. Things cannot bring us deep happiness. Exchanges of love can bring the heart happiness. The soul is within the heart. To understand our relationship with God and express it through service is the ultimate happiness. And it's never taken away. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur declared to his Guru Maharaj that this simple happiness, even of just cleaning the ground after you perform your duties, there is no treasure more valuable in all of the cosmic manifestation for me than this. Srila Prabhupada explains how Narottam Das Thakur, his prayers, which have been sung for the past 400 years, they are written in very simple Bengali language. However, they are as good as the original Vedas. Why? Because he has extracted the very essence of the Vedas. So Thakur Narottam, his praising those who have taken shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being most fortunate. And in his humility, he is longing for the association of those devotees. He does not discriminate. It doesn't matter the material designations one may have. Whether one is Eastern or Western, black, white, red, yellow, whether one is man or woman, old or young, rich or poor, learned or illiterate. These are all temporary designations. They have nothing to do with the soul. If one seeks shelter of the spiritual platform by serving the Lord, by chanting the names of the Lord, by developing such devotion, Narottam Das Thakur, he longs for their mercy. He longs for their blessings. And this is one of the special features of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar. Is he came to give this most priceless treasure to everyone and anyone without discrimination. The only qualification, essentially, is the willingness to accept it. With humility. I'd like to share one short story with you. Sometimes short stories take some time to tell. But considering eternity, which is reality, it's a very short story. There was a very, very great devotee and a very profound learned scholar. His name was Balabhabhat. And the Lord wanted to teach the world through this devotee. Previously, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan and then returning, he met with Rupa Goswami at Prayag. And during that time, at the confluence of the rivers Jamuna, Ganga, and Saraswati, a very, very learned scholar and a very, very highly respected devotee named Balabhabhat invited Lord Chaitanya to his home. And Lord Chaitanya went there. It's a very nice story. He took him across Jamuna to go to his home. And they were on a little boat. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing Jamuna, became so intoxicated with ecstasy, thinking of Krishna, when he saw the waters of Jamuna. He just started dancing and dancing on the boat, and the boat was practically sinking. He's jumping in, and the devotees had to somehow or other. It was a very dangerous situation. That was Lord Chaitanya. He's Krishna in the mood of a devotee to show how to become completely intoxicated for God. Not artificially, but from the heart. So, Balabhabhat decided to go home by a different direction because it was safer. But Lord Chaitanya showered so much affection on him. And Balabhabhata's heart became so deeply attached to Lord Chaitanya's association. Some years later, Balabhabhat came to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. He came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's room, and Lord Chaitanya very graciously offered him a seat. And Balabhabhata was so happy. He said, "For so long I have been longing, longing, longing to meet you. I always remember you. Your gracious kindness and affection has so much affected my life." And then, on the basis of the scriptures, he began to praise Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "You have done something extraordinary. You have made the world chant the holy names of the Lord." Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtana Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. He composed this beautiful verse, which means the fundamental principle of religion in this age of Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And only one who is very specifically empowered by the Lord can spread this Harinam Sankirtan. Therefore, we can understand that you are empowered by Krishna. And when we see the manifestations of ecstasy that are in your life, that are ornamenting your form, we can understand that this is only possible by the mercy of Krishna. He quoted a verse from Bilvamangala Thakur, which reveals that there are many avatars. There are many incarnations of the Lord that appear in various times and places according to the circumstances. But only Krishna himself, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, can awaken symptoms of ecstatic love. And we see in you, we see how Krishna is manifesting. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with much gravity, responded. He said, "Whatever you are saying does not apply to me. I am just a Mayavadi sannyasi who knows nothing about devotional service to Krishna. But whatever I do know, it is only by the mercy of the devotees." This principle that Lord Chaitanya is teaching is so beautiful. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Radha and Krishna have assumed one form as Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the love and the luster of Srimati Radharani. To give that love to the world. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratveshe Namaha. Many people declare themselves to be Krishna, especially these days. One time someone told Prabhupada that my guru is Krishna. And Prabhupada said, "How do you know your guru is Krishna? Krishna appears according to the predictions of the scriptures and according to certain qualities. Krishna possesses all opulences." In fact, Prabhupada said, "Every other day someone comes and tells me their guru is Krishna." But the fact is, anyone who wants to declare themselves to be God says that they're Krishna. Yes? So one thing is for certain, that Krishna is God. So why take chances? Why not just worship Krishna? Then you know you're correct. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is predicted in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Upanishads, as the Yuga Avatar, the Chanda Avatar. Chanda because he appears in the role of a devotee. This is incredible. Think about it. Krishna personally descended in his original form and spoke Bhagavad Gita to the whole world, to teach people how to be devotee. But people rarely understand. Therefore, Krishna again comes, but in the role of his own devotee to teach us by his example. Prabhupada gives example that when a teacher is teaching elementary school students the alphabet, says, "This is how you make A. One diagonal line this way, another diagonal line the other way, and then a line in the middle and on the blackboard." Now, the teacher doesn't have to go through the exercise. The teacher knows, but goes through the exercise just to teach the students how to do it. Similarly, the Lord appears as a devotee to teach us how to be devotee. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Swayam Bhagavan, Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashashriya. He possesses all six opulences. What is the meaning of Bhagavan or God? The meaning of Bhagavan is one who possesses all six opulences in full. That means all knowledge, all wealth, all strength, all fame, all renunciation, and especially all beauty. Everything that everyone is attracted to in this whole existence, it is all emanating from Krishna. He is the source of all opulences, and he possesses all opulences in full. Krishna tells in Gita that whatever opulences you see in this world are just an infinitesimal spark of my splendor. Therefore, the Lord is all attractive. And that is the meaning of Krishna. All attractive. It is not a sectarian name. Anyone who believes God is all attractive can very comfortably call upon him as Krishna. So, here is Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, the all-powerful source of everything that exists. But he's taking such a humble position, and he's speaking from his heart, that he gives all credit to his devotees. You've heard that beautiful song or seen the pictures of Krishna, who assumes the form of a little tiny baby and floats on a banyan tree leaf with his toe in his mouth. You have seen? Very beautiful. Kararavindara padaravindaya. Why is he doing this? Here is the source of the Virat Rupa, the universal form. In the 11th chapter of Gita, Krishna reveals to Arjuna universal form. All-pervading. Creating and annihilating everything that exists. And he's taking such a simple form as a little infant baby child, and he's sucking on his toe. Now, this is hard to understand for certain religious people. God is an old man throwing thunderbolts at the sinners. But here we find God as a little tiny baby sucking his toe. He has no other business than sucking his toes. Totally absorbed. And why is he sucking his toes? Kapila Dev explains why. Because he sees his devotees. They worship his feet. And they derive such unbelievable, incredible ecstasy worshiping his feet. He wants to see what his feet taste like. And it just won't look proper for the universal form to be sucking his toe. Or Nrsingha Dev. Or Parasaram. So he appears as a little tiny child because it's very natural. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is giving all credit to whatever he has to his devotees. Now, you may say that that is just his way of teaching us that we should never be proud and we should give all credit to others for whatever we are able to do. It's the safe way. Because this ahankar or this false ego hardens the heart. A hard heart cannot experience spiritual affection. Humility softens the heart. Ahankar, false ego, hardens the heart and makes it unable to assimilate and digest the mercy of the Lord even when it comes. Yes? You can give good medicine, but if you can't digest it, it just goes in one side and comes out the other. Association is very important. It's like that story that Prabhupada told of the man who at night ate a delicious, sumptuous gulab jamun. And the next morning, he went to the bank of the river and responded to nature, and out came stool. Yes? And it was really disgusting. So he just, he looked at his own stool and was disgusted. So the stool spoke to him. This is an analogy. This is not some lila in the scriptures. It is an analogy that Prabhupada speaks. So the stool spoke to him. He said, "Why are you looking at me with such disgust?" So it's obvious why I'm looking at you with such disgust. Your smell, your sight, everything about you is disgusting. He says, "Well, you think I'm disgusting? Last night, I was a sweet, beautiful, delicious gulab jamun. And because of one night's association with you, look at what I have become." So this is a principle. You become like what you associate with. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is giving all credit for whatever goodness he has to his devotees. Not only to teach us the principle of humility and how to access mercy through that humility, but also he's actually feeling that way. It's the nature of love. Now, you may think this is inconceivable. How can the Almighty Lord think that way? But in exchanges of love, that is the reality. Krishna becomes dependent on his devotee's love, and the devotee is totally dependent on Krishna's love. It is an exchange. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Balabhabhat, "I'm just an unworthy Mayavadi sannyasi. Whatever I know about devotional service is by the mercy of the devotees." And then, with great, great enthusiasm, he began to glorify his devotees. He said, "Advaitacharya is the Supreme Lord's incarnation. He's the very personification of devotion. He's very, very deeply learned in all the scriptures and their conclusions. And he's merciful, even to the most fallen, even to the malechas and yavanas, the most sinful classes of society. He's freely giving loving devotional service to the Lord. I have become purified by my association with Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, the Avadhut. He is directly the Lord Himself. Nityananda Prabhu is always intoxicated with ecstatic love of God. That is why he is called Avadhut. He is not concerned with mundane conventions of the society. He simply freely, with no restrictions, just gives love of God and expresses love of God. He's the very ocean of spiritual love. I have learned what it means to love God from Nityananda Prabhu. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He has mastered all the 6 philosophical theses. He has studied and evaluated all the scriptures. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is the very embodiment of pure devotion. And therefore, he is fit to be the spiritual master of the entire world. From Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I have learned that the essence of all scriptures, the essence of all mystic yogic processes is bhakti, prema, pure unalloyed love for Krishna. And from Ramananda Rai, I have learned that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that spontaneous love is the highest platform of self-realization. He has taught me that in Vrindavan, the devotees of the Lord have transcended the Lord's Aishwarya or opulences, and they enter into intimate loving relationships with Him. Some serve Krishna in neutrality, some as a servant, others as a friend, Sakyaras. Devotees serve Krishna in Vatsalyaras, just like a parent loves and serves a child, and some in Madhuryaras, the conjugal love of lover and lover. In this way, Ramananda Rai has taught me the intimacies of the love of Vrindavan. How Krishna is carrying his friends on his shoulders. They're playing games, and the loser has to carry the winner on shoulders. And who is the loser? Krishna. How wonderful. Is it possible for Bhagavan to lose? It is His will. We often use the example. A father is wrestling with his little 5-year-old child. The child says, "Father, I want to wrestle you." And the father says, "Yes, let us wrestle." Now, actually, the father could just pick up that child with one hand, throw him on the ground, stomp him with his foot, and crush him to death within 20 seconds. Yes? He has that power. But is that going to give the child happiness? And is the father going to enjoy doing that? So he doesn't want to exert his power. He wants to express his intimacy. Therefore, he's playing with the child, and the child jumps on the father falls down. Ah! And then the child gets on top of him and starts doing all different... And the father's going, I give up, stop, I can't tolerate it, you win. And then the child is telling the family members, I beat up father. And the father's smiling and laughing, and the child's smiling and laughing. That's love. So Krishna loses just to give pleasure to his devotees. And giving pleasure to his devotee is his pleasure. So he's showing the whole world that he's the loser by carrying his devotees on his shoulders. Harivo. And Yashoda Mai, she's binding Krishna with ropes, and Krishna is apparently helplessly bound by her love. And how the gopis conquer Krishna by their love. He said, I have learned the ecstasies of the love of Vrindavan from Ramananda Rai. And from Swarup Damodar, I have learned the highest love of Vrindavan, the love of gopis and Sri Radharani, which is absolutely not slightly even tinged with material lust. It is pure, unalloyed, selfless love. the gopis of Vrindavan, they gave up everything. Their social status, their security, for the pleasure of Krishna. We know the story. Krishna had headache. He wanted the dust of the feet of devotees. And every devotee that was approached by Narada, they would not give. Taking the dust of our feet and putting it on the head of God, we will go to hell. But immediately gopis collected as much dust as they could and said, quickly, quickly, bring it, bring it. And Narada Muni asked, what are you saying? Do you know what will happen? If I take the dust of your feet and put it on Krishna's head, the gopi said, of course we know. Hell for eternity. Is that what you want? Yes. Now who wants love? Who wants hell for eternity? The gopis replied, if we have to go to hell for the rest of eternity and suffer, and by doing so, we give Krishna one moment of happiness, that will be our greatest attainment in life. That is love. Inconceivable, but that is the love of the gopis. So Krishna, he is telling gopis that your love for me is so deep. Your surrender and selfless love is so pure that I cannot repay you with everything I have in an entire lifetime of Brahma. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the proprietor of everything that exists. And Krishna is saying, with everything I have, all the property in all the universes of the entire cosmic manifestation and all the property of all the different planets in this spiritual world and the spiritual sky itself, with everything I have, I cannot even begin to repay you for your love for me in a day of in a life of Brahma. Therefore, Krishna tells gopis, let your own glorious deeds be the compensation. This, he says, I have learned from Swarup Damodar Goswami. When Uddhava went to Vrindavan, he's a royal prince. And he saw these simple gopis. To an ordinary person's eyes, the gopis are just common girls performing very, very simple menial tasks. What are their tasks? They're not sitting on thrones. They're not ruling governments. They're not performing mystic potencies and miracles. They're milking cows and churning butter and cleaning houses, Haribo, and washing pots and cooking. That's quite ordinary. And here is the prince, one of the royal princes, best friend of Krishna in Mathura. And he's praying. He's praying. He doesn't want elevation to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. He doesn't want liberation from all material sufferings. He's willing to give up his high post in Dwarka, living in such royalty. He's willing even to give up his personal friendship with Krishna. And he's longing, performing austerities and praying for what? To be a creeper, a shrub, or even a little blade of grass in Vrindavan. Why? Because the gopis may step on his head with their feet. This is the nature of love. This is his humility. And this is to the extent the great Uddhava treasures and appreciates the elevated position of these little cowherd girls. He came to Vrindavan in a royal chariot with beautiful regal garments. He did not want to embarrass gopis by touching their feet. So he just wanted to live forever as a blade of grass. So they step on top of him. This is the emotions of one who is in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya said, This I learned from Swarup Damodar Goswami. And from Haridas Thakur, I learned the glories of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya told Balabhabhata that Haridas Thakur chants Krishna's names 300,000 times every day without fail. Now, 16 rounds is approximately 25,000 names of Krishna. Yes? If you chant 16 rounds four times in one day, that's 64 rounds, and that equals 100,000 names. So Haridas Thakur is minimum, just to start the day, he's chanting 192 plus rounds. Yes? Every day. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Constantly chanting God's names. You cannot do that artificially. It wasn't that Haridas Thakur was Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Ram. It wasn't just struggling. I want to eat. I want to watch something. I want to do something. I want to talk, gossip with someone, but I just have to finish my rounds first. It wasn't like that. Haridas Thakur was tasting nectar with every syllable. It describes in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, when he would be chanting the names of the Lord, there would be tears constantly flowing from his eyes, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling. Anyone who even saw him chanting the holy names would become astounded. Lord Chaitanya gave benediction to Haridas Thakur. Whoever hears your chanting, whoever sees you, even whoever thinks of you with faith, will get love of Krishna. Haribo. That was his power. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining, I have learned the glories of the chanting of Krishna's holy names from Haridas Thakur. Now this is wonderful. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar. He has descended to establish the chanting of the holy names, and yet he's giving all credit to someone else. And then he delineates so many other devotees. Acharya, I have learned, he said, the glories of the holy name. I have learned the treasure of pure devotion from such devotees as Acharya Ratna, Acharya Nidhi, Gadadhar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, Shankar Pandit, Damodar Pandit, Vakreshwar Pandit, Murari Gupta. They have all taught me everything I know. On another occasion, Lord Chaitanya gave all credit to his mother. Here he is, the crest jewel of all sannyasis living in Jagannath Puri, and he's telling that whatever devotion I have is only what I learned from my mother. So after glorifying these devotees with so much enthusiasm, Balabhabhata, he said to the Lord, where can I meet these devotees? Is there any possible way I can see them? Do you know why Lord Chaitanya said those things? Because he scented within the heart of Balabhabhata some pride. It's very, very difficult to be famous and learned and not be proud. He was such an incredible scholar with such powerful memory. But Lord Chaitanya scented that there was a trace of pride in his heart. He was thinking, I'm a learned scholar, and he was also thinking, I'm a great devotee. Now, how do you know someone's a great devotee? One of the most obvious symptoms is they do not think that they're great devotees. If someone thinks they're great, they're small. If someone thinks they're small in the eyes of God, they are great. Now, you shouldn't be small. You should think you're small. A devotee should not be fallen, but should think themselves fallen. How is that possible? It is natural. Because the more you understand Krishna, and you realize, and you experience, and you taste the magnanimous, supreme love, mercy, and opulence of Krishna, you realize how little and small you are, and you're humbled by that. This is actually a symptom of a person who actually is experiencing God, is they become infinitely humble. And to the degree a person is falsely proud and thinks, I'm great, that means they're really not experiencing God. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the world through Balabhabhata. Lord Balabhabhata, knowing so much knowledge, had a little pride, just a trace of pride, and Lord Chaitanya wanted to remove it. So he started praising all the other devotees. And Balabhabhata said, I want to meet them. How could I meet them? Where are they? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, it just so happens they have all come from Bengal, from various parts of Orissa and other parts of the country, and they're all here in Jagannath Puri to celebrate Rath Yatra of Jagannath. I will introduce you to all of them. So Balabhabhata arranged prasad for all the associates of Lord Chaitanya. They were all gathered together. When Balabhabhata came in the presence of all these devotees who were so bright and so effulgent with detachment and spiritual realization, he felt himself to be very, very, very small. It said he felt like a little duck in a flock of swans. Hare Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced all of them. And Balabhabhata, such a cultured person as he was, went to each and every devotee and fell at their feet and humbled himself. And then he brought the Mahaprasad of Jagannath and fed everyone sumptuously. Should I continue?
No.
Now, Balabhabhata one day came to Lord Chaitanya and said, I have written a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like to read it to you. And Lord Chaitanya, he was a master of the science of Srimad Bhagavatam. But he wanted to humble Balabhabhata. So he said, I don't know what is Srimad Bhagavatam. I only know Krishna's names. So Balabhabhata said, oh, well, I have written an entire essay on the names of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't care about all of that. All I know is Krishna is Shyam Sundar. He has a beautiful, lustrous complexion like a tamal tree. And he is Yashoda Nandan. He is appearing as a son of Yashoda Mai. That's all I know. That's all I want to know. Thus. So he didn't give Balabhata a chance to say anything else. And because Lord Chaitanya would not listen to him, none of the other devotees would either. They would all do kirtan and socialize nicely, but they wouldn't listen to what he was wanted to read to them. So he was very much in anxiety. He wanted someone to hear. So he was very, very carefully examining all the devotees, and he found one devotee was very humble, gentle, and simple in his disposition. And that devotee's name? Gadadhar Pandit. Who is actually Srimati Radharani incarnate. So he went to Gadadhar Pandit. And he said that I must speak my commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam to someone. Nobody else wants to listen to me, but I want to speak it to you. My life will not be happy unless you hear my Bhagavatam explanation. And then he just started speaking it. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, I do not want to hear it. Lord Chaitanya doesn't want to hear it. None of the other devotees want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But I don't want to hurt his feelings. He would not stop him. He had such a soft heart. So he just was listening. And every day, Balabhata would come and recite his Bhagavad commentary. And Gadadhar Pandit would just be thinking, what to do? I don't want to break his heart. I don't want to hurt his feelings. I don't want to disrespect him. But I don't want to hear it either. Sometimes life is like that. Difficult circumstances. So he was thinking in his mind that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya knows the innermost motives of my heart. So he will understand me. But his devotees, I'm very much afraid what they may say. So because he was listening to the Bhagavatam from Balabha, Lord Chaitanya completely neglected Gadadhar Pandit. And other devotees, with love and affection, were criticizing him. This is possible. Sometimes we criticize due to ego, sometimes we criticize due to envy. But they were criticizing out of affection and love. It was actually very sweet, the way they were saying it. But it wasn't very sweet for him to hear it. So some time passed. Meanwhile, Balabhata was coming to the assembly of devotees to prove his points. But every time he tried to prove his points, he was defeated. And this was really disturbing him. One time he came and said to Advaitacharya, he said, Krishna is the only male. Yes? All jivatmas, all living entities are female by nature. The soul is by nature female and God is the supreme male. Yes? That's what he's explaining. So he said, if the Lord is the supreme husband of every living being, it is not proper culture for, according to our traditions, for the wife to publicly speak the name of her husband. That was the tradition in those days. So why are you chanting loudly the names of Krishna? Hare Krishna. Is that good logic? What do you think? Adwaitacharya said, "You are speaking this, but Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is present. Let us hear from him what he says." And Balabhavata was thinking, "Finally, I've defeated them. Ah, what will they say against this?" And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very grave. He said, "It is the nature of a wife who is chaste and faithful to her husband to follow what the husband wants. And Krishna has instructed every living being to loudly chant his holy name." And this takes precedent to all other of these culture and traditions and social formalities you're speaking. So Balabhavata said. And another day he came. He said, "I have made commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam and I have refuted and neglected the commentary of Sridhar Swami." Hare Krishna. Sridhar Swami is the original commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam, who Lord Chaitanya and all others since honor and worship. Lord Chaitanya became very grave. He said, because Swami also means husband. Swami means one who controls the senses, the mind, but it also means, in another context, a husband, Swami. The one who rejects their Swami is a prostitute. So he left. And then, after being defeated so many times, his ego was really being smashed. He was thinking, "What's happening? When Lord Chaitanya came to my house in Prayag, he was so affectionate to me. He was so kind and loving to me. But now he neglects me, and all his devotees are defeating me all the time. Why?" And he began to contemplate very seriously, and he came to the conclusion, "Because he loves me. Because he's merciful to me. Because I have false pride. Because I'm trying to put myself forward as being somebody great. I'm trying to put myself forward as somebody who's more learned than them. And because such a heart cannot love God, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, he's so kind, that he's removing this pride. Now I understand." And the next day he came before Lord Chaitanya and the devotees and fell at their feet with all humility and folded palms. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Embraced him. They all wept tears of ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through this example, wanted to teach the world. Sometimes through material nature, sometimes through environmental circumstances, sometimes through just ordinary common people of society, sometimes through devotees, our own God brothers, our own God sisters, sometimes through the spiritual master, or sometimes through, you know, a bird or an insect. The Lord teaches us how to be humble. How many of you have had malaria? Raise your hands if you've had malaria.